Well, you know, your singing maybe is a good place for me to start. Let me ask you something. Was your singing good or not good? Sweet. Enjoyed it. Any other comments? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs this way, this way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, probably, you know, whether you answer or not, you have some framework to claim whether it was good singing or bad singing. You call it enjoyable, you say it was just getting started, or sweet. You've got some framework. And what I'm going to talk to you about, and we'll go through some verses, not a whole lot, but I want to give you a few thoughts, and that's to judge things rightly. Assess things rightly. Really, there's only one question to ask. I often, people will say, was that a good meeting? Was that a bad meeting? And I'll say, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a good meeting. There's no such thing as a bad meeting. It just depends what you're evaluating it by. If you're evaluating it by its enthusiasm, if you're evaluating it by its sweetness, or you're evaluating it by its comfort, or you're evaluating it by its power, or you're evaluating it by what you got out of it, there's all different ways to evaluate a Christian meeting. But if you want to go on with the Lord your whole life, there's only one way to evaluate it. And there's one way you're going to gradually learn to evaluate everything. In what way is the Lord here? He's always here. I've never, ever been in a meeting when the Lord is not there. Now, he may have been there in ways I wasn't interested in him being there. In other words, I wanted to get excited, or I wanted to be enthusiastic, or I wanted some sweetness. And you know what? Usually I left that meeting feeling that wasn't a very good meeting. Well, what I'm really saying is, the Lord didn't show up the way I wanted him to be. He's always there. And one of the biggest obstacles that believers have is to develop within your, what the book of Hebrews calls your faculties. That's your awareness of the Lord, of the Lord's presence, what the Lord is saying to you, how the Lord's speaking to you, to cultivate your ability to see through whatever's going on and to listen through everything that's going on to know when the Lord is speaking to you and to know how the Lord is speaking to you. Especially, John was telling me, a lot of you grew up in Christian homes. So everybody has their context of how you're evaluating what is good and what is not good. Your framework, because that's how you grew up. If you grew up in a non-Christian home, you would call somebody good or somebody bad based on what you learned from your mom or dad. Well, it's the same way in your Christian realm. You've got a framework of how you assess everything. And probably the one message I'd like to get through with you today, or at least plant a seed of thought, is I want to change the way you evaluate things. You evaluate things not at all by what you see, by what you hear, by what's going on, by how enthusiastic someone else is, or how depressed someone else is. You learn to evaluate things by the voice of the Lord speaking in your heart. I always use a funny illustration. First time I went to a training, I think it was back in 1977, out in Anaheim. It was a Matthew training. And it was so high about, you know, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the heavens and, you know, how we need to be prepared. And, oh, it's just... You know what I got out of that training? And back then it was 10 days, 3 messages a day. So that's 30 messages in 10 days. That was grueling. You know what I got out of that? It was so vivid. Straighten out your underwear drawer and keep your socks straight for the sake of your wife. Profound, isn't that? Isn't that deep? But in that training, I couldn't remember a darn thing. All I could remember every time I looked at my dresser is, yeah, don't be a slob anymore, okay? At least for your wife's sake. Just keep things neat. Now, you just think, well, then what on earth did you go to? You didn't need to go to California to learn how to keep your drawers straight. Well, that's true. Someone else could have just told me that. But the point I'd like to illustrate See, when we love the Lord, yes, there's a context of a church, there's a context of a work, but mainly what the Lord is interested in is you. That's the main thing the Lord is interested in. And the one thing you need to learn to be interested in is, look, I want one thing. I want to hear the Lord's voice. I'm even going to talk to you a little bit about serving the Lord. And when you're young, you think, I want to serve the Lord. I want to give my everything to Him. I want to be useful to Him. A little bit, push that out of your mentality. The Lord is after you, and He's after you to be conformed to Him. And the only way you will make progress, yes, you need a context, you need brothers and sisters around you, but far more important than that, you need to begin to cultivate your hearing of the Lord's voice. Many times when you want to follow the Lord, everybody will be marching in one direction, and they're called by the Lord. And for some reason, He calls you to head in another direction. You say, how could this be, Lord? Everybody's doing this. Or everybody's going, this is the way everything's happening. But for some reason, the Lord will say, no, but right now, in your lifetime, I need to lead you in this direction. To teach you something you haven't learned about me yet. To conform you to my image in a way I haven't worked on you yet. And you think, well, Lord, how come? Why can't I do what everyone else is doing? Why can't I go along with what everyone else is going? The Lord will say, I will take care of them. A little bit like the Lord told Peter. You don't worry about what's going to happen to John. I'd like to talk to you. And that's the way the Lord deals with us. And that's a hard thing to learn, you see, because our whole culture, everything we do, we assess whether we're right or not by what, you know, I need feedback. You know, you guys like my shirt? Get a little feedback. You know, okay, so I feel much better. It's just the way, that's human nature. You're always, you're weighing things. You know, I think psychology will tell you that from the time children are little, they begin to assess, where do I fit in here? Who am I? You know, am I their leader here? Am I a follower here? You're always, that's the way we live. And all of a sudden, you get born again, and the Lord says, all right, we're going to change the rules now for the rest of your life. From now on, the rest of your life, you and I have got a connection. You're born again. I live in you. And that connection is a connection between the throne of God and you. And other people can't evaluate it. They can't assess it. That's why the Lord hates when Christians judge one another or when Christians are critical of one another. Why? Can you see from the throne to my spirit? If you all march in that direction and I march in this direction, can you tell me I'm wrong? Well, from a human standpoint, you say, boy, you're off your rocker. What are you doing? But from a spiritual standpoint, I've only got one person to answer to. Lord, the path that I'm walking down, is this you? Is this your voice I'm listening to? Is this your direction that you're giving me? Because no matter where everyone else is marching off to, my direction has got to be set by this divine connection. In our regeneration, the new life was put into us in a new life. If I drew the analogy, there's a new way to play this game called living. And the new way to play is to begin to cultivate the sense of the Lord's leading, the Lord's speaking, the Lord's guiding, the Lord's training, the Lord's discipline. And we'll get into some illustrations. So I come back to, was our singing good or not? You know, did we need to do it? Well, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It's good, you know, to get stirred up because you're young and you want to be enthusiastic. That's good. But also if you sit there and bum, that's not bad either. I don't mean just totally in yourself. But sometimes, you know, you just have to sit there. And you just sense, He's here. He's here. Amen. Lord, I'm a little too tired to stand right now. You don't mind if I take this one sitting down, do you? But you cultivate a realization when you are in the Lord's presence and when you're not. And that becomes the plumb line to how you judge things, little by little. Okay, I'd like to read some verses, or at least point some things out to you. I'm going to give you a few thoughts. Okay, not so much teaching and what to do, but some thoughts. You know, one thing about being young, you know, not just in the Christian realm, but almost any human realm, it's young people that set new directions. They see things in new ways, and mainly because you have no baggage. You know, so you assess things very differently. And so I like to give you thoughts. Not so much directions, but just some thoughts that you can ponder and consider, because it's you'll take things differently than someone my age who has all kinds of baggage and all kinds of history. But to hear things and following the Lord at your age becomes a time of discovery outside of what you got from your mom or dad, although that's all valuable. But the Lord wants to take you on in a new way, a brand new way. You have your life. And if you don't have that feeling of being a pioneer, you know, I'm just walking into a world that no one has been there before. I read something not too long ago that, and I agree with it. Everybody who wants to follow the Lord, they feel like they are trotting on ground that no one has ever walked on before. That's what it feels like when you follow the Lord. Instead of assessing, was this training, was this right according to the criteria of trainings? Or, you know, was the way we conducted ourselves in our group meeting or whatever kind of activity, was that? No, it's not like that at all. I'm following the Lord. No one's ever followed the Lord like I am now. Never. This is new. I'm cutting new ground. I can look at some of the older brothers and sisters and kind of get some broad direction. Like, for example, go to school. I'm taking it. You've all gone to school, right? But did you go to your mom or dad for every class, every teacher? And even if you got into a major, the way you took on your major was different. Why? Because you're a different person. You can't go along with what someone else has done. Not unless you're going to be a very tiny, narrow person. You blossom out. And it's the same way with our spiritual life. So what I give you, you know, you kind of have to ponder. And same thing, everything you're getting in the training, to you see things in the things you do and in the things that you hear that are very unique to your ears. And then they're going to be very unique in the pathway that you take. Okay? Let's turn first to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 and 7. Someone want to read it? Any version is okay.
To the messenger of the church in Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, he who walks in the midst of the golden lampstand.
Okay, so we know the one who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands is the Son of Man. That was just mentioned earlier. And then go to verse 7.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God.
Okay, so the one who is speaking to the church in verse 1 becomes the Spirit speaking in verse 7. Now, all I want to portray here, because this happens all throughout the Gospels and all throughout the epistles, there's a church, and there's activity in this church. There's seven churches, right, in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And the Lord's speaking to the church, which means he's speaking to the believers all the time. And at the end he says, he who has an ear. Now I want you to think about this a little bit. Here are, you know, the church, these seven churches represent all believers. And all believers are participating. Some things in these seven books are good. Some are doing tremendous works for the Lord. Some are doing things that are not so good. But in either case, while they're doing their things, maybe some are feeling really good about how they're going on. Maybe some are feeling really bad about how they're going on. But no matter what is going on, while these obvious physical activities, things are going on, something else is going on at the same time. That other thing that's going on is the Lord speaking. Now, this is very striking. It's very similar to the stories in the Gospels. You know, the Pharisees are arguing with Jesus. They're contending with him. They want to get him on the spot. Well, who is he? The Pharisees are God-fearing men, very careful about keeping the law, very careful about honoring God. But look at this very interesting clash. These men are challenging God. That's striking. This doesn't make sense. Just like in these books here. These, you know, you look at them and you say, well, we're not in those seven churches. We're something different. No, you're not. This represents all of church, it represents all of Christendom today. That includes us, and it includes all Christians through all history. Anyone who's been a believer has been in some kind of a group, some kind of a gathering, some kind of a church. And take a look what's going on. Some are positive, some are aggressive, some are doing wonderful things, some are not, some are, but all of them are participating, I believe, quite actively. You know, you traveled around a little bit. You cannot say people are not sincere or they don't mean business. Where we have, we lease space where I teach. The priest, we rent space from a Catholic church and school. So we run our school side by side. And I got to be good friends with the priest. He is a very, very sincere believer. Very sincere. The Lord's touched him in all kinds of ways. So you can't say these, you know, people, the ones who are have Satan in their midst and, you know, Jezebel is there. And okay, it doesn't mean people realize these things are happening. They're positive. They're for God, just like the Pharisees were for God. The people who traveled around undermining Paul's ministry were for God. You know, you don't travel and preach and study the Bible because, how could I destroy God's church? Let me think about it. Nobody does that. Yet, while all these activities are going on, there's another world on the other side, or another sphere, another way of participating and knowing who God is that, in a sense, has nothing to do with that church that they were in. I think this is very profound. And I know this has been my experience for all the years that I've been a Christian. There's always two things going on. Another time, that same year I went out to Anaheim, I remember being called, all the young people were called. At that time I was a young person. I was 27, that's young. For afternoon prayer, and I remember going to that afternoon prayer, and while we were there, everybody, you know, young people, I'm sure you're not like this, but a lot of, usually young people are, especially young brothers. They all wanted to demonstrate to one another who was the strongest, the firmest, the clearest, the most aggressive. You know, they're fighting for leadership. This is interesting. And at that time, I just had come into the church life, and I was pretty simple about the whole thing. And I looked at this, and I thought, what the heck is this? And I remember bumping a brother next to him, and I said, let's go get some coffee. I don't want to pray. This doesn't seem like a place you pray, despite all the prayer that was going on. I'm sure you've done this before. You've been in some situation that is allegedly a Christian meeting or allegedly a Christian gathering, and you just think, something's not right. Well, that little feeling of, I don't like this. I don't even know what's wrong, but I don't like this. That's kind of the beginning of your hearing this invisible world. That's really the kingdom of God. It's the spiritual world. It's the realm in which God is speaking to us. That's kind of some of your first feeling that there's something else going on here than the meeting that I'm participating in. Sometimes it's the Lord saying, this is not right. I really feel the Lord saved me that time, because eventually a lot of those people in that meeting really did some bad things. And then they stopped going on with the Lord. And to this day, I haven't heard a thing from them. I really think that was the Lord. I just didn't like it. I didn't know how to put my finger on it. I didn't know, you know, I couldn't come up with an assessment. Well, you know, according to Hezekiah 4:4, what's going on here is not right. I couldn't do that. I just knew, God, I don't like this. This doesn't feel right. I was young. I didn't know the Lord that well. But that doesn't matter. Because as soon as you're born again, you begin to have feelings. You know, this is the great thing about God. No one else will trust you to follow the Lord. Nobody. You know, John doesn't trust any of you. Not really. But always we look at someone else and I need to tell you what to do. Because you're not old enough to follow the Lord. But in, you know, according to Hebrews chapter 8, you know, when the new covenant is instituted, no man will tell you, know the Lord. Everyone will know the Lord, from the least to the greatest. Why? Because when you're born again, all of a sudden you get this capacity to be able to hear the Lord, to be able to sense Him. And so you get feelings. That's why I have tons of confidence in young people. You don't, in fact, to be honest with you, I doubt you have that much confidence to really follow the Lord. To do the things people tell you to do, I think you have more confidence. But to follow the Lord, I don't think you have much confidence. Because you don't know what a great thing God did, what He brought you into. What He has brought you into is a relationship where He says, listen, I am going to take you on a path I've never taken anyone else, because you're unique. From the family you grew up in, the experiences that you have, your intellect, what I gave you by creation, you're unique. So I am beginning to train you like I've never trained anybody else. And to do that, I'm giving you the capacity to sense me. I'm going to give you the capacity to begin to sense, yeah, this is good. The more I go in this direction, I feel empowered. Or, the more I go, I don't like this. Something's wrong here. I don't know what it is. It seems like when I'm heading in that direction for this coursework, I don't have peace. I head in this direction, I feel a lot of peace. You know, I've got four kids. They're a little, probably close to your age. But when they were choosing majors or when they were choosing their professions, it was so enjoyable to watch them struggle. Always asking for advice. You know, somebody tell me definitively, what do you want me to do? Don't give me this sense stuff. Don't give me this praise stuff. Tell God to send me some kind of an instant message or something on my computer. It's a major in biology, with pre-med. He doesn't do that. It's a sense. But you've got the capacity. But it's usually not cultivated. We'll come to that in a little bit. It's not developed in you because there's things in your background, things in your mind you say are right, and you want to do the right things. Many young people grow up in the church life, grow up in a Christian group. Some don't want to do the right things. I bet you all got some in your locality like this. They're just hell-bent on doing whatever's contrary to the young person's coordinator. Is that what he wants? Good, I'm going here. Is that what he wants to do? Fine, that sounds good. I'm going to be over there. They're just built that way. And then there's the ones who say, what does he want to do? Do you want me to do that? Anything. That's every kind of Christian group that's ever existed has those two kinds of people in them. Both are wrong, equally wrong. The ones who are agreeable are wrong, and the ones who are disagreeable are wrong. And eventually the ones who are disagreeable, they go off and do their own thing. The ones who are agreeable, they stick around and become quite judgmental. I've noticed that. And this, you know, you remember Joe? The one who always caused problems in the meeting. Remember him? You want to know what he's doing now? That's what happens when you don't stick with the meeting. No. And Joe's probably thinking, have you seen Mary? Remember Mary? Always singing, always happy. Always going along with the brothers. Everything's great. Yeah, well, she's still doing the same thing. Judging everybody. You should have seen the way she looked at me when I crossed her in the street. Just stuck her nose up in the air. Well, that's history. But in between, in the midst of all that, some. That's why I like the call at the end of Revelation. He who has an ear to hear. It's like the Lord is saying, holy smokes, is there anybody out there who has an ear to hear? You, brothers and sisters who are negative, do you have an ear to hear? I could care less about how negative you are. Can you hear me? You know, sometimes young people would tell me, well, you know, I don't care for the church. I don't care for church meetings. And so I'd always say, so what? Then they don't know what to answer. You know, it's easy to answer, I can't stand John Meyer. I can't stand the leading ones. You know, I can't stand how narrow-minded they are. So? Does that mean you can't hear the Lord? What do they have to do with your Christian life? But they're a leading one. So? What does a leading one have to do with your Christian life? Do you see the point? What you see here is the Lord crying out, walking amidst the lampstands, speaking. And anybody, can anybody hear what I'm saying? Now we on our part, listen, here's what we have to cultivate. You're in this, how long is this little boot camp training?
It's a month.
It's a month. You can come to this with two different ways. One way you can come, and I'm going to learn a lot of things. That's good. You know, to be equipped in the Word, to get experiences, that's all good. That's one level. But there can be another level. I'm coming to participate in all the things the brothers are doing. And Lord, while I'm here, what do you want me to learn? What are you showing me? I can assure you, the Lord has something for you that's unique. Maybe many things. Some things, maybe he's confirming something. Something in your life has nothing to do with this training, but he speaks to you. Oh, now I'm clear. about a career choice or about a friendship or about something. You get clear. I can't do this anymore. Or I must do this again. You'll learn things and you get these experiences. They're all helpful. They'll come back. The Lord will use those at another time. But at the same time, you've got ears to hear Him speaking to you. Sometimes I like the Old Testament language. I like the word meditate. You know, it has a kind of a reflection in it. You know, I always think the deepest life, I don't know what fields of education you're in, but the deepest life is to be a Christian. The deepest reflection, the deepest thought, to ponder. You know the word Selah in the Psalms, you know, means stop and think. Stop and reflect. And I don't know if you have the habit at the end of the day or even at the morning of the day, not just to do your evening prayer or you do your morning prayer or do your, but to just ponder. Sometimes ponder over a cup of coffee. You can ponder on a walk. You're just pondering. And then little by little, the sense. You know, when the Lord speaks to us, not often is it with a zap, you know, where you do one of these, or an instant answer. It's a growing feeling. It's like He introduces a little thought to you. He just comes over and whispers, "Don't go there anymore. Just a little thought came. Or have you thought about choosing this?" Just put it out of your mind. And a month later, He comes again. Same thing. You know, "How come you hate Brother So-and-so?" You ever have that one? I get that one all the time. I have problems with all kinds of people. And the Lord comes, and you just, it's nothing. And next time it's a little bit louder, seemingly louder. You know, when you talk spiritual language, you try to put words to it, but sense of life and the anointing, you can't define that clearly. But it'll get, in figuratively speaking, a little louder. "Why do you hate that brother, Chuck? Why?" I'll come up with my justifications. "Well, Lord, I'll give you about 10 reasons why I hate him." But pretty soon, His voice keeps getting louder. My reasonings keep getting weaker. And it's just back and forth, maybe a month, maybe 2 months, maybe a year. If they're real deep problems that we have, maybe the sense of life takes a couple years to finally wear on us, where all of a sudden we realize, "Yeah, Lord, I'm off. I am really off in this." Or, "No, Lord, I need to go forward on this." The sense of life grows over time. It's not the same as getting advice from a leading one. When I was in Mexico, this was a number of years ago, after a young people's conference, some young sister who I had known in the training in Anaheim came to me and said, I asked her, I said, "So what are you going to be doing now? You know, you've gone back to school, you're in the training, what are you going to do now?" She says, "Well, I'm still waiting for the fellowship." I said, "Whose?" I was hoping she'd say the Lord's. And all she was telling me, so-and-so was having a discussion about what she was supposed to do. And I thought, you're already heading in the wrong direction. Yeah, you'll have some positive times when you're under some particular covering, but you're taking the wrong direction. I kept asking her, "How do you feel?" She says, "Well, I that wasn't even in her vocabulary. I was so sad. Because I knew where that was going to lead. Nobody, listen, young people, nobody knows what the Lord is speaking to you. Sometimes I like challenging young people harshly, especially when they're positive. You know, I would do that when I was in Anaheim all the time. And young people say, "Oh, isn't this good meeting? Wow, I saw something." And I would, they were all done, then I'd just ask them, "So these days, how's the Lord speaking to you?" And most of the time, they go, "What do you mean? How's the Lord speaking to me? He's speaking to the body. He's speaking to the universe. He's speaking..." "Yeah, I know that. You don't have to tell me about those doctrines. I know them. How is He speaking to you?" You know, sometimes he is really dealing with me with my roommate. He, in his wisdom, he put that idiot with me. I know it was him. Because that's all I can think about. You know, while somebody's at the podium talking about God's eternal purpose and the New Jerusalem, I'm thinking about, tonight I'm going to hit him. I'm going to hit him. I know I'm going to hit him. I'm going to wait for something. It doesn't matter. And yet the Lord did that, put that roommate there. Yes, he wants you to be in trainings. Yes, he wants you to make progress in him. But mainly at that point in your life, there's this little thing. You just can't stand that kind of person, that particular kind of person. And so the Lord says, then I'm going to put that one in their quintessential state in your room and exacerbate your feelings to the point you can't take it. And so in the meantime, here's that problem right there. That's what the Lord's working on. But here's what most religious people do. Just all kinds of things. Oh, did you enjoy the prayer meeting last night? Hallelujah. Were you at the conference? The conference. Oh, you know, I just thought I was transported to another world. All the while, this thing is saying, you just avoid that thing. Here's the lesson the Lord's teaching. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, waiting for the brother to say, oh, that testimony, brother, that was powerful. That changed my life. All right. Now, you feel good about yourself. And all the while, it's the Lord's little finger. It's the Spirit speaking to the church. He's got a little deeper lesson that he's trying to teach. That's how the Lord operates. He has got his own little school, his own little coursework, all nicely arranged for you. But it's our need to cultivate the ability, the willingness, the heart, the desire. Lord, I don't care how things are going outwardly. I don't care. I mean, I want to be positive. I want to love the brothers and be close to everyone and do whatever I can to benefit everyone. But while that's going on, Lord, I got to know your voice in my life. We lose our Christian life. We lose it. We have nothing. Eventually, you will grow tired. You will grow tired of whatever new thing you're in. You'll get tired of this. I saw this hymn, though. Both of my daughters have showed me this, and I'm really happy. I think these songs are great, but let me tell you, in 20 years, you are not going to enjoy that book anymore. I look at the old one that I had in the 70s. You know, we sang, well, anyway, all these ex-hippie become Christian melodies. Yeah, I don't even want to look at that thing anymore. And I bring it out, and it all grows, everything grows old. Only one thing doesn't grow old. The Lord is real to you today. He's taking you through something today. You don't know what your life, maybe the Lord will use you in the next 20 years to serve him a lot, to reach people, and maybe not. Maybe something's going to happen in your life and you get put in a little corner, struggling for 20 years. From the religious vantage point, we'll say, oh, whoa, Lord, don't ever do that to me. No, I don't want to face that. The Lord will say, no, you got it all wrong. Your daily enjoyment of him, your joy, your hope, listen, never changes if you are a person who lives before him. It never changes. Whether you become one of the most famous Christians of the 21st century, used great by God, or for some reason things happen circumstantially and you're put in a corner and you hardly ever get to serve him in the way you think. The measure of joy, the measure of progress, the measure of hope, the measure of expectation never changes if you know how to listen to his voice. Let me show you another verse on this that is one of my favorite verses. It's in Hebrews chapter 5. Okay, starting at verse 13, says, and this is a comparison between immature and mature believers. Everyone who partakes of milk is in, so this is a definition of what it means to be immature and what it means to partake of milk and not solid food. Everyone who partakes of milk is inexperienced. Inexperienced. You don't have enough experience in the word of righteousness. For he is an infant. So, in other words, doesn't matter how long somebody's been saved. Doesn't matter. You may have had a lot of human experiences, but this person is inexperienced. For example, I'll come back to your little time in this training that you have. You could be experienced or inexperienced. You can have lots of experiences that everyone's doing, but you also can be cultivating, Lord, what do you have for me here? You know, this, I told you about this Catholic priest that I had. I'm from a Catholic background and left that for many good biblical reasons. I would have nothing to do with that personally. But it was very interesting. We had lunch together, and he told me some of the things he had been recently touched on by the Lord. And you know, they were identical to a couple things that were going on inside of me. And I just figuratively stepped back from that conversation, and I said, Lord, I need a big adjustment. Here's a Catholic priest. He's about my age, you know, and all whatever trappings they have in their traditions. I don't agree with that. I could prove they're wrong. But I realized I dare not say a thing about his relationship with the Lord. Why? That's an experience. All of a sudden, the Lord can't. Because in the past, I could have been, and I have been with pastors. I have no interest in listening to them. I'm just waiting with my six gun Bible verses. I'm just waiting, you know. And he gives me a little opening. Give him a verse, show him how his denomination is wrong. How being a formal pastor ordained is wrong. I mean, he's dead. Well, eventually, at the end of that conversation, I'm the one who's dead, not him. Because you're in the wrong realm. There's no learning. There's no coming in, meeting with somebody, and instead of just taking it all in a natural, oh, this is a Catholic, oh, that's a Lutheran, oh, this is a Presbyterian. We know all that. Yeah, you do. That's true. Maybe you've learned a lot of what's wrong with the Catholic Church as a whole, with its doctrine, or what's wrong with the Lutheran Church as a whole, as a doctrine, or the Presbyterians, or any other free group. You may know. But that, and that may all be true. It could be proven on paper. You could find the verses to back up your argument. But what I want to tell you is there's something else going behind every single incident that you experience in your life. Some are exercised. They're experienced. When I walk into this, Lord, where are you? How are you? Who are you? What kind of person am I supposed to be in this setting, Lord? That's a word of righteousness. We won't have time to get into that. But you're always allowing something to exercise you. That's verse 14. See, it says, solid food is for the full grown. Now, look what who the full grown are, who because of practice have their faculties exercised for discriminating between both good and evil. Now, the grammar here is very important. It says, solid food is for the full grown. Okay? Now, then there's a description of what they're talking about, full grown and the solid food. Who, because of practice, what is practice? You've done something many, many times. Because of practice, have their faculties exercised. That's passive. That means they're not the ones exercising. They are being exercised. Do you understand the difference? See, when anything you do, you exercise. If you're going to study your math, you exercise. You go over, you practice the problems many times till you have proficiency and you're ready for the test. You exercise. But in the Christian realm, things happen that exercise you. You see this difference? Something happens. This here, you're in a training again. Have you let this training exercise you, your faculties? What does that mean? That means there have been some things you've done and you will be doing, and while you're here, two things are going on. The events that you're participating in and something that you're searching behind. Lord, why this? Why me? Why now? What are you speaking? I'm being exercised, your faculties. I think in one commentary I read, faculties are related to your whole soul and your spirit. You're listening in a different way. You're listening, and you're listening with two ears, a physical ear and a spiritual ear. And you're learning. You're learning with your mind, but you're also learning with your spiritual faculties. Just what's really happening here? You know, maybe the lessons that are here in this training, in addition to the experiences that you're getting, have to do with the people you're with, have to do with the older ones that you're with. I don't know if you're staying with hospitality. May have to do with the hospitality you're at. I'll tell you, the Lord is really something. You know, you may have decided you're going to come to this training, but I can tell you, the Lord already decided you're going to come to this training. And, you know, if you brothers think you planned well, let me tell you, God really planned well. He knows what things to make go wrong, what things should go right, how the schedule should work, how it should not work. I think he has a great sense of humor. You know, because sometimes we get worried. And the Lord will say, no, I've preordained that it fails. That's part of what I'm doing. Sorry. I know you want it to be a good training, but, you know, so it's going to fail. From that, you know, the criteria you're calling it, it's going to fail. Because while it's failing, I'm putting everyone, I know where to put them in what hospitality, what things to occur, what things to happen. If they'll listen while those things are going on, it's not just a training for young people. This is my training. This is what I'm doing. I call them here, and in their pathway of what they need to experience now, at their point in life, at their age, their physical age, their psychological age, there's some things I want to show them. And this training is it's a great training you guys are doing, God will tell you. I really appreciate it because it gives me a chance to do something real. you follow me? I'm being a little light on it toward the brothers, but I mean it. Of course we serve the Lord. But when he does something behind the scenes, it's so much grander than whatever we do or whatever we observe. If we let it exercise us. That's what a spiritual person is. I don't care whether they're 80 years old or whether they're 18 years old. To begin your real spiritual life, you need to begin to let the things that occur exercise your faculties. To begin to realize why. Ian and I know each other for a long time, and a lot of strange things happened in your life in the last 5 years. A lot of strange things happened in my life. I'll tell you, things have occurred to me in the last 5 years. I just want to go sit down. Sometimes I'd have my morning watch nearly for a year, just like this. My coffee. Maybe that'll help. Oh, Lord. 5 more minutes. Amen. I am not exaggerating, except that it would be much longer. I'm not kidding. I don't know what on earth is happening to me. Do you have that experience? Like, you know, this doesn't make sense. And I'm sure the Lord's up there laughing, having a great old time. You know, go ahead, Chuck, exercise. It ain't going to work. I ain't doing that to you right now. And it's so hard to get through because nothing's working right. You know, I've been a Christian. 1969, I got saved. So how long is that, 30-some years? Yeah. And here I am almost a whole year just totally confused. Why? Because the Lord just destroyed in his kindness. I know that's an oxymoron, isn't it? Destroyed in his kindness. He destroyed in his kindness all my structure for how to follow him. Nothing worked anymore, whether it was prayer reading or singing. Nothing worked. And I had to let the whole situation exercise me. What is going on, Lord? What is going on? And I'll tell you, just little by little, then he'll speak. Little by little, he begins to speak. Well, all I want to inspire in you is that kind of seeking, that kind of searching. That's your Christian life. And let me tell you something. If you will begin to follow the Lord, letting things exercise you, learning him, learning to hear the Lord, despite everything that's going on, your Christian life will never be dull, will never be boring, and you will never backslide. Other things may go wrong, but you will always find a way to go on. Why? Because whatever the Lord allows, he loves you. And he wants you to reach full maturity. Sometimes I would often, because I got to know the young people well. So even when they would leave the church life or leave their Christian life, they want nothing to do, I'd still ask them the same question. And hang out at a bar or wherever they were, I'd just ask them, so how's the Lord speaking to you? And you know, I said, well, I haven't been to a meeting in a year. I said, so? I burned my Bible. So, what does that have to do with the Lord speaking to you? And, you know, this is what was interesting. Invariably, they always knew what the Lord was speaking to them. See, that's the great thing. That's the great thing. Every one of you have the capacity. It may not be according to what you have been taught the Lord ought to be speaking to you. You know, sometimes older brothers and sisters, they don't mean bad. But, you know, you're not living the life you ought to live. And you say, well, I love the Lord. And I'll kind of look at you and say, well, you know, if you love the Lord, you wouldn't dress like that. I'll tell you that. That's for sure. And it throws you off. That throws you off. And then you think, well, gosh, maybe I don't. You know, they're older than me. Well, you have to have the full confidence. You have the ability to hear, know, and to follow the Lord based on where you're at. And if you cultivate that, let the events of your life exercise your whole being to cause you to be a much deeper person than just someone, a Christian participating in activities, to know His voice. I can tell you, your whole life will be not just a love affair with the Lord, you'll be wildly in love with the Lord because He's always better. He is always better. How much is 2006? I got saved in my sophomore year in college. So 69, now it's 2006. I'm not that good at figuring my 37 years. Yeah, I honestly can tell you that. I really loved the Lord when I first got saved. We were crazy. Just the other day I heard that song by Harrison. What's his first name? The Beatle? George Harrison. My Sweet Lord. You know, he's praying to some Hindu god. My sweet Lord, my Lord. Well, I was just oblivious. So I just loved the Lord so much I was singing that song all the time to a Hindu god. And I didn't know anything about Krishna or whatever. I said, my sweet Lord, my Lord. We just loved Him. And loved Him all throughout my whole life. And now today, everything has changed. Whatever I do not is so different than what it was even 10 years ago. Totally different. But I can honestly tell you, I love the Lord with all my heart. Someone might look at my life now and say, gosh, you don't serve the Lord that much anymore. I would tell you, oh no. I serve Him every day, even every hour of every day. And I love Him more than I did 37 years ago. Because I'm not in some structure. By His mercy, a little bit, I've learned to let the events exercise me. And in that, you keep finding, this Christ is unbelievable. The one I knew in 69 is, oh, that was a little Christ. Now the Christ I know, I realize, oh, I could live forever. And that's what it'll be in the kingdom. We will just be in the kingdom forever, discovering something new about the Lord for eternity. How much just in our own lifetime? But it's when we have an ear to hear Him speaking and a heart to learn what He's teaching me. And I know a little bit sometimes we say we shouldn't think about me, but let me emphasize this. You got to think about you. There is a corporate life. You do need to be together. You do need to strengthen one another. But young people, you need to learn to hear that voice and have your own private tutorial with Jesus Christ, guiding, shaping, molding you.
If anyone has any questions before we ask you a question.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The verse you read in Hebrews, it said, have your faculties exercised.
Yeah.
We live in this generation now where there's just all kinds of interference. So what do you do to keep your faculties exercised so that you can hear the Lord's voice?
You know, even that's learning how to do it from the Lord. You know, part of what the Lord perfected in His life was a relationship with God the Father. If you read the Gospel of Luke, you know it's very striking. He's always praying. You know, you almost want to say, wait a second, you're God. I mean, how much you got to do this pray stuff? He's always praying. Well, as a man, He had to perfect a life that keeps going back to God. That's what He perfected. He not only perfected the human life, but He perfected a life of a man who trusts in God. He didn't just automatically trust in God. He had to learn it. Okay, so your question is, here I am an engineer, and this is, you know, this is the 21st century, and it is fast, moving, go. You know, I don't know if any of you know Hannah, my youngest daughter. I watch her on the computer. She's doing her homework, IMing somebody. Got an iPod in her ear. You know, I keep telling, what the heck are you doing? You're going to go nuts. And she just says, Dad, you're old, and just writes me off. But that's just the life. Okay? How, Lord, how do I keep coming to you? How do I exercise? How do I learn from you? I don't even like to tell people anymore how to do that. I have my way that the Lord has taught me. And that's varied. When I was young, I mean, I could get up and pray, read verses in the morning and sing, and, you know, I had a way to enrich my whole spirit. But that's all changed now. Now I try it, it doesn't work for me. And then so, you know, you might say, oh, so we shouldn't pray, read? No, no. Even that, how to approach the Lord, how to be in His presence, He has to teach you. My wife's got a stack of these books, poetry, from, you know, great Christian writers in the past. I don't have much tolerance for poetry. It just moves too slow. You know, and she'll just sit there and read these poems and come to me afterwards. Oh, I tell you, the Lord's wonderful. And I think, you got that out of poetry? Are you sure? Aren't you just emotional? Well, in a way, yeah. I want things crisp. When I read the Bible, I want to get something. I want to see the logic of the grammar and the syntax. And, see, I got a conclusion. Because I like math. I like measurable. So God says, okay, you little nerd. I guess I got to come to you that way. It's learning. Even how to come to the Lord has to be learned by us. So I would take that same question. You know, and when you're so busy, Lord, I can't even find time with you. This is not right, Lord. Have you ever been that busy? I have that every once in a while. I'm so busy. I just think, Lord, I'm sorry, but I can't afford time in the morning. I can't afford a time. What do I do? He always gives me a way. Always. Because that's what He wants. And if people come in and, you know, I've had people give me advice, and I've given this advice. I'd never give it anymore. You know, you love the Lord and you don't get up early enough. Say that again. You love the Lord, but you can't get up a little earlier? Have you ever had anyone lay that one on you? That makes it even worse.
15 minutes earlier.
Yeah, that's right. That makes it even worse. Then you already are having trouble having your time with the Lord. Then on top of that, someone questions your whole integrity as a Christian. You just, you know, you're already condemned. It's a real brotherly love. Oh, my hand, good. No, I found and sometimes the ways we have to come to Him, to spend time with Him, to reflect, to ponder, changes during different courses of different periods of our life. And my wife will give a lot of stories of, she said most of her time was with the Lord was changing diapers. You know, she found at least then she had the kids tied down. And she could call. And I know it's no answer, but I've also learned answers don't work. You're seeking, the Lord does.
If you think you know what He's saying, but you don't really like it.
That's a normal experience. Because like I said, the sense, you know, you just have a feeling. Maybe. But, you know, we're immature. So it could be our soul and it could be the Lord. But anytime it's something of the Lord and you're not clear yet, don't do anything. Just don't do anything. And keep bringing it to Him. The more it's of Him, the more you open to Him, the stronger becomes the sense either of, yeah, this feels right. You know, do you know the word prevenient? Any of you know the word prevenient or prevenience? Yeah, it's something that's provided for, you know, let's say you were going to have a grand banquet for your entire family. And some uncle wrote you a check for $1,000 because he knew that's what it's going to cost you to provide this huge banquet for your family. That's called prevenient money, given ahead of time for what's coming up. Well, the Lord gives us prevenient grace, meaning He wants to push you in a direction, maybe to move. You kind of have the feeling, but yeah, you don't have the $1,000 yet. Only some vague promise. There might be some money there. But as you bring it to him again, and you just feel, you know, I just feel this is right. You know, we my wife and I had this experience moving from Anaheim back to Cleveland. I'm sitting in a meeting in the middle of May, and I had this feeling the Lord was saying, move. I said, Lord, I just had all this fellowship with the brothers to stay, and there was all kinds of reasons to stay. He said, move. And I said, yeah, right, okay, whatever. I ignored it. Next week I came, okay, how about the moving, Lord? Oh, this feeling gets stronger. And you come to him again, and then you're just powerful. You're just powerful to do the thing which just a few months ago you had no power to do. This is the great thing about the Lord. And this is why you're free. You should never feel pressured to do anything. If you're pressured, that's not the Lord. You can bring it to him. You know, let's say the Lord wanted you to move to another country or something, or a third world country to serve him. No way. I like my bed. I like my coffee in the morning. You ain't getting me nowhere. No way. And then the Lord comes a little prevenient grace. Here's the first $50 for that trip you're going to take. And you say, no, I'm not. I do not feel the strength. I don't feel buoyant. I don't feel encouraged enough. And you keep coming to him. And the more you come to him, you just, oh, the very thing you did not want to do, all of a sudden, not only you want to do it, you're empowered to do it. Then you know grace is working. And before that time, listen, I really would make a point of this. Don't do anything. That's why we're free. You don't have to do a darn thing in following the Lord. Not a thing except to come to him. That you have to do. If you don't come to him, he can't talk to you. He can't supply you. The Lord will not intervene. At your salvation, he did to wake you up. But after that, you don't have to do anything but come to him. Lord, do you want me to follow you? Recently, some young brother asked me, should I serve the Lord? And I said, well, you already know, don't you? He says, no, I don't. And I said, then you haven't been to the Lord enough. You don't have to wrestle with it. Are you full-time now? Yeah. You don't never have to wrestle with it. If you feel, I don't know if I want to be full-time anymore, then don't. Or I don't know if I should work anymore. Don't move. Whatever the Lord wants you to do, you will feel powerful. Then you know this is grace. That's the prevenient grace for the new life I'm going to give you. I saw this when I was in Russia. I'm sorry. I know you. When I was with the saints in Russia. It might be better now, but oh, man, did they have a hard time. Oh, the way they had to live, oh, it's really bad. Really. And I thought to myself, at that time, my wife and I were helping them with some of the educational issues with their kids. And I told my wife, I don't know how they live like this. These are Americans. They're not Russians. If you grow up there, you're used to it. I just couldn't figure out how could they live this way. And then on our trip back, I said, you know, I can understand a lot about what men and women have done for centuries, forsaking their first world lifestyle, and whether it's to go to China or go to Russia or go to some backward country to serve the Lord. And they did it. How did they do it? I can't do that. And my wife and I are saying, that's right, I can't do it. And do you know why I can't do it? Because I don't have the grace to do it. That's all. If the Lord would tell me one day, Chuck, you need to go to such and such a place. Eventually, not only I would go joyfully. I know it now. I'm convinced of it. Because he only makes us do what he's given us power to do. I know that's a long answer, but does that help? I hope as a young person you would really feel free that way. You are free to do anything. I would even tell you, and this might be bothered by this, you're free not even to meet with the church. You're free. And why can I say that? Because I'm not convinced you need to be someplace. You need to hear his voice. And then when you meet with the church and you feel, oh, the Lord wants me to be here, you will be so happy. You'll be so encouraged. You'll think, how can I strengthen the saints? How can I support them? Why? Because you got the grace. If you can learn little by little, and I don't mean this for you not to meet with the young people. I don't mean that at all. You understand? That's why I get in trouble. But once you experience grace, man, I'll tell you, your whole life is different. Your whole life is different. And you only serve the living God.
Would you say that applies to preaching the gospel also? How do you find the balance between getting yourself out of your comfort zone and not doing it purely out of your own self and forcing yourself to break yourself?
Same thing. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. I've had the experience where the Lord, I knew the Lord was telling me, you're holding back. You need to go out. But it was the Lord. And so therefore, I had the power to do it. And other times, I had the feeling I didn't want to preach it. And I still don't, and even after I went to the Lord, I still don't have a feeling to preach it. And I've had other times when I just wanted to pray for the people around me. I'd say most of the time, the most powerful gospel is reaching out to the people that are in your environment. But again, it's got to come out of prayer. And it's got to come out of the prevenient grace that is given to preach at the right time. Or to learn by experience. Way back, when was it when we were knocking on doors?
Late
80s. Late 80s. We would go out in groups of three, neighborhood by neighborhood, knocking on doors. See, oh man, sometimes I thought it was just torture. You know, I thought, sometimes I'd knock on the door and say, please, Lord, make nobody here. You know, nobody'd answer the door. I say, hallelujah. Well, what kind of an attitude is this? I'm a gospel preacher. I don't want anybody to show up. That's pretty pathetic. Of course, now I'm glad I went through all those experiences to realize, no, in that too, I have to experience grace. Sometimes I feel I need to go out. The brothers are saying they're all going out. I need to. And other times I feel very free to say, no, that's not me. I can't do that right now. But that comfort level of, especially with something like gospel preaching or anytime everybody is all engaged in something, to have the confidence that you're going against the grain of what everyone is doing, that comes over time, having learned what is grace and what is not grace. There's no shortcut to this. It takes, that's why it says experience. And that we didn't come to the verse in Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, you have not so learned Christ. You know that verse? That word in Greek, learned, is learn through experience. And that it's the same word in Revelation 14, where they learned a new song. That means that the song that the overcomers sing has been learned through experience.